This is the model.
Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator. Here today at the controls, we have Gino Salcedo, who's filling in for Eva, who's out sick today. And we hope that she gets well very quickly. I'd like to begin with a few general items. The order of presentation, and if we could have everyone in the room, please be quiet while we get through the beginning housekeeping, that'd be very much appreciated. So first, the order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. And if there's any public testimony in opposition, then the project sponsor will be allowed a three-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, may ask questions of the project sponsor or members of the public. At the conclusion of the item, it may continue it to a future date, take the matter under advisement, or make a decision today. There are three items on the consent calendar today. These are items that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step forward. Otherwise, they would be granted. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing. For items that are not on the agenda, any member of the public will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time. The criteria for justifying a variance are outlined in Planning Code Section 305C, and it states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to determine the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, may take up to 2 months from the date of this hearing to have a decision letter issued. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign in the sign-in sheets on the far wall. This is very important because the appeal rights are based upon the issuance date of the decision letter, and the decision can be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the decision date. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. Please conduct all conversations outside the hearing room. While we do encourage people to talk, we just ask that they be done outside in the outside of the hearing room to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for October 28th, and audio recordings of these hearings are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. And we can go to the consent items now.
All right. There are three items on the consent calendar. The first item is case number 2015-004792VAR at 1036 Polk Street with a usable open space variance sought. Item number two is case number 2015-00511-4VAR at 3938 17th Street, an exposure variance sought. And item number three, case number 2014.1346VAR at 146 Waverly Place, an exposure variance sought.
Is there anyone here to speak on any of these three items? Again, 1036 Polk Street, 3938 17th Street, and 146 Waverly Place. I know we did get letters in support and opposition on Waverly Place, but it seems that there's no one here to speak on any of those three items. So with that, I close the public hearing on these three items, be inclined to grant the requested variances, and we can move on to the regular calendar. We did receive a request from the project sponsor for item number 12 for 95 Central Main Avenue to have that at the beginning of the calendar as an accommodation And so I'm willing to have that at the beginning of the calendar. Just wanted to advise everyone of that. I think we'll be able to move through this calendar pretty quickly, given that there are not too many people here to speak on these items. So we'll be taking item number 12 at the beginning of the regular calendar. We can call that one now.
All right. Item number 12, case number 2014-002435 VAR at 95 St. Germain Avenue, a front setback variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the accommodation, Mr. Sanchez. It's very kind of you. 95 Germain and the entire block of St. Germain seems to have bypassed many of the provisions of the RH1D planning code. The subject property is in this photograph I've got up now, this property here with the lovely battened plywood exterior siding. An elevator was built on the property line in violation of the RH1D zoning. There is no side setback. The elevator was intended to serve both of these properties. It's not currently in serviceable condition. This property owner wishes to have it removed very much. This property owner here, the Yees, need that elevator. So they wish to relocate this elevator to here and take some parking that is lost here and place it with an enlarged garage. This is a side view. I don't know if this can be lightened up at all from the overhead. But suffice it to say that we have snout garages here, and then starting from the adjacent property and all the way down the block, everyone is built forward of the subject property. So this would not be out of character for the block at all for us to be increasing the mass in front of the main body of the home in this condition. There clearly are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances here. The proposed alteration will not significantly change the physical characteristics of the existing setback, nor adversely impact the existing pattern of development on the block. The existing elevator is a non-conforming structure built entirely in the required rear yard, side yard, and removing that will be restoring the house to a more code-complying condition. Finding two that that would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship if they're not able to do this. The loss of parking in this location is would be a hardship not only on this property owner but on the surrounding properties. The streets are very narrow and the parking on the street is overburdened at the time. Unfortunately, this block is dominated by very large driveways and significantly reduced amount of street parking space available. Thus accommodating two cars in a lift is a accommodation necessary to address the parking problem inherent to the site. Those are the key issues I wanted to bring to your attention. If you have any further questions, we're here as the property owner is here, and we can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. So to clarify on the existing elevator, was that built with permit or without permit?
It was built with permit at the time of the homes were built.
And do we know what year that was?
I think that was
1979.
79. Okay. Great. And there's no change in the number of parking spaces. There are two already, and you're retaining those two parking spaces.
By use of a lift, yes.
All right. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on 95 St. Germain Avenue. Is there any public comment? Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes.
Thanks. So I'm with 99 St. Germain, the one in the picture that shares the elevator, and Chrissy's with 91 St. Germain on the other side. So after a lot of thinking about this, because we've had years, we now oppose the proposed variance because the first one that we saw, first of all, we've been raising concerns about blocking light and air to our kitchen and to the house if this comes out. Second of all, we're worried that it's protruding. This glass elevator that they want to put in looks into our bedroom, and they've now added a glass greenhouse in the back that looks into our kids' bedroom. And so we're concerned about that. We've brought this up many times. The elevator is there. There's an easement of this elevator between the two of us. It has not been formally terminated. And there's ample free street parking everywhere. We're okay with an elevator inside the house, but one that goes on the outside, you know, concerns us. And if the parking is a problem, is the reason for why it has to go on the outside, there's ample street parking. In fact, we've had a party with 150 people, and all everybody talked about was how this was the only place in San Francisco where everybody could find parking. In your pictures, there's a picture of an RV in front. So that's it. It's just our concerns. If the E's move out and somebody else moves in, they have access into two of our bedroom windows. We just don't like it. And we've said this many times. So we have may have pictures and the list. I don't know if that helps. Thank you.
Thank you. And so just a question. So now the concerns relate to the privacy from the proposed elevator.
Well, it's light and air, mostly for the kitchen, because it extends 10 feet out further and 8 feet up further.
And your kitchen's at the front.
No. Right. Your kitchen's where the darkness will be. Yeah, it's in the front.
Okay.
And the glass elevator is 8 feet out now, and because our house is set in, it looks in. But most importantly is this new greenhouse that we didn't see before, that wasn't on there before, on the second story in the back. Okay. That now looks into our kids' bedrooms.
Okay. So to clarify, so the purpose of this variance is just for the items at the front, and so I hear your concerns related to those items.
But this is new. This, I think, it's part of the variance in the back. At least it's, I know it's not written there, but it's in the new pictures.
So, and just to clarify, so the variance is just for a front setback variance. So the first 15 feet are required front setback.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But any addition at the back may be, and I'm assuming, would have to be code compliant. But there's a separate process for that, mm-hmm. which would be a public notification for the whole project, and you'd have the ability to file a discretionary review to the Planning Commission. Just to clarify, kind of what there is some limit to what we're looking at with this process.
Sure.
Just so you know. But I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item in 95 Saint-Germain? So seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal?
Do we get to respond?
Yeah, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. Yeah.
Okay.
There's not ample. I got pictures of
okay,
fire
so
trucks. Right. Speak on the.
That's besides the point. As you can see right now, Mr. Sanchez, the windows right now allow views into their bedroom, and I can because they both are on the same plane. No, the other one.
Side view.
This one, the side view. So this is a side view. And if you look at this, this is their home, and this is our home here. Let me bring it down a little bit. They're on the same plane. So you can see currently we have a view into their room. But what you see is, and vice versa, but all you can see is just anything that is sitting in the bay window. It does not allow views back into the bedroom. As for the enclosure of the patio in the back. It's not part of this case, but let me just say that the glass enclosure is going to be right on a retaining wall that currently exists. It will not change the view into their bedroom. One can only have that view if one steps into the backyard, and that is very rarely done.
So just to conclude on our response, this is these are concerns that have not been raised before. There have been many discussions with our neighbors about this. As you can see from this graphic, the location of the elevator, this glass element is entirely mechanical. In effect, it obstructs the ability to view into that adjacent house to the west. The expansion portion of the project is down on the lowest level, where there is no light that would pass, would be obstructed by that structure, given that we are to the east of the...
Their light comes from the west.
Right.
The only light they get in the morning is diffused light. It's indirect light, but that will not change.
And we're just very surprised to hear these concerns, because we thought that the concerns had all been addressed.
Okay.
Thank you.
And aside, this is the fifth iteration. This has been a four-year project, personally project for me. This is the fourth iteration of plans.
Okay.
And just to highlight about parking, just the park. You know, Christmas parties are great, but look how congested. Jeremy, could you focus?
Oh, okay.
And you know what? It's really funny. I couldn't stage this better. They had two fire issues that jammed the street. We're at the corner. We're at the funnel of the east side of St. Germain. And
that's time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. So appreciate the comments from the public. Maybe we would disagree slightly with the project sponsor. I think the project will have or could have more of an impact. The building is going to project almost 5 feet or 4'8" further to the front than the existing building. I know there is that bay window there currently, and as well as kind of the glazing. I think I do see the mechanical equipment, the tracks on the side. So it is a plexiglass elevator, and it does have the glass on the side. So I see there could be some potential privacy issues, although it's really only when you're going to be in the elevator going up and down, and not to say that couldn't be addressed some other way. I was informed by staff that the project has not been reviewed by the residential design team yet, which was a concern of mine. So at this point, I'm not ready to make a final decision on the project. I think this would give time for the project sponsor to discuss with the neighbors the concerns, see if there's a solution to that, and we could also get the input from the residential design team, and they may very well request that the elevator be more kind of inboard in the building as well, so we'll have to wait and see what those comments are. But with that, I would close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement, have residential design team review the project, have the neighbors and the project sponsor discuss and see if there's a way to resolve the issues. I would like both parties to report back to staff after they've had a chance to meet and discuss and just keep in contact with staff. There will be a subsequent notification for the Section 311 that is required. I don't have a timing on that because we haven't had the residential design team review, but I would imagine that that's not going to be for at least another month. So I would say keep in touch with the staff planner, and we'll move on to the next item. Thank you.
All right, next item is item number 4, case number 2014.1487V at 410 Hearst Avenue, with a lot size and front setback variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have a 5-minute presentation.
Hello, yes, my name is Mike Murray, and I'm working on behalf of project sponsor. This is a unique lot. It's 50 feet deep. We're looking for a front setback, a front variance and a rear yard variance. The front variance would bring us out to property line, which there's already a 12-foot setback from the city sidewalk. It only brings us out in line with the house that's in the corner, so it's not protruding only, it's protruding 4'4" from the property at 412. So I'm hoping that you will approve this. We worked with the neighbors, discussed it, showed our plans, and I think everybody is happy with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see if there's any public comment in this item. And we're on item number 4 for 410 Hearst Avenue. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Note that this is essentially to legalize a lot that was created without proper planning department review. I know there were some concerns from a neighbor about the fact that the lot hadn't been properly created, and they were maybe concerned that part of this lot was in fact their lot, but we did review the history, and it didn't seem that that was the case. This is just properly documenting the lot size and then allowing for a front setback variance on a very small lot to allow development, and it's not seeking any other variances for the proposed development. So with that, I'm inclined to grant the proposed variance, and we can move on to the next item.
All right, moving on to item number 5, case number 2015-001505 VAR at 1701 to 1703 McKinnon Avenue, lot size variance sought.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Javier Solorzan, and I'm representing the owners of the subject property. Well, footnote, there's a building application already approved for a structure there. So basically what we're trying to do is better manage the property by just subdividing it. And for all practical purposes, it's going to be two completely separate buildings. They're not attached in any way, shape, or form. And it is a corner lot currently, which allows us to have a smaller size lot. That's all the comments I have.
Okay, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, on item number 5 for 1701 to 1703 McKinnon.
You have a three-minute presentation.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. My name is Dan Doat. I'm the director of the Bayview Office for Community Planning. And we had sent a letter a couple of days ago with a number of questions, but I want to point out a couple of things specifically regarding the location of the building and the original application. So I'll point out the plans. May I put this on an overhead?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's important to understand some consistency here with respect to the property and so on. The way this was proposed at planning in order to obtain a building permit was with lot and block number 5301001, when in fact this is block 5305001. So there's an inconsistency in the way this was originally proposed. We'll also point out on the plan itself that it shows that all of the walls in the building to be proposed are existing. That's here. So it would be indicated from this that this is an existing and extant building on the property when, in fact, there is no building on the property. The point, again, is that this lot, the existing lot, 5301, has a Victorian building on it, built in 1900. The side yard, which is 16 foot wide, is the lot in question and requested for variance. A building permit has apparently been issued for a building to fill that lot, but again, there's an inconsistency in the way it was proposed. That's 5301001, not 5305, and the building is shown as existing. The original permit, I believe, was pulled in 2008. It's now 2015, so 7 years later, we still have quite an inconsistent level of information that's being presented. In addition to this, the 311 notice did not include peripheral neighbors. It included groups from throughout the city. So I received a letter yesterday from Mr. Solorzano. Thank you very much. Regarding the notice, but none of the adjacent neighbors were notified in the original building permit. So I would respectfully request that you continue this item until we get some additional clarifications. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. So just a couple questions. So now there's a concern that the property was not properly noticed, that it was noticed under being block number 5301 versus block number 5305, but was the address correct?
The original permit apparently indicated 1703 McKinnon, but there is no 1703 McKinnon. So essentially what you're doing is kind of a retroactive approval of a building on a lot that was not yet subdivided. In other words, the side lot, and this would be my question in general, I'm not sure that you could fulfill the lot fill characteristics for a side lot to include a full secondary dwelling. So in other words, you have a lot, you have a building, you have a side lot of 16 foot wide. Can you build a secondary dwelling in terms of lot fill?
Yeah, because there's no lot area
minimum
requirements. Yeah, and under the planning code for residential districts, we don't have the FAR requirement applying mm-hmm. in the RH districts. There is no side yard requirement. I think you, Mike, I actually do have concerns about the project. I'm more concerned about the pattern because I don't see a pattern of smaller lots like this.
Right.
I think staff reviewed and found within 1,000 feet that there are about six properties of this size or smaller, one of them being the property that's located to the rear on Newell Street. And so it looks like historically maybe that had been subdivided off of this larger parcel, the corner parcel, and now it's seeking to be further subdivided into another substandard lot. And the building permit that you reference and have concern about, to note, that is showing in our system as having been approved but not issued. And so they can't construct anything. And so they're, once, if they do move forward with it and it is issued, there'd be a 15-day appeal period to the Board of Appeals. And so I've asked staff to actually get back that permit and take a look at it and make sure that was properly approved. But I think some of the concerns may be separate to what is here today, which is mm-hmm. the lot subdivision.
I do think, though, that if you have a proposal for a building for the specific variance, you would apply for a variance for a lot split prior to a building permit. Would that be the case?
There's no requirement to do so, and certainly this is an RH2 district, which would allow mm-hmm. two dwelling units, and so even if the subdivision is denied, they could still go ahead and build the project. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary. The subdivision isn't necessary for the project. In some cases, if you do the subdivision first, let's say they go through the building permit process and the building permit is denied, then you have a subdivided lot.
With nothing to build on. Right?
Yeah, so it is a chicken and egg question. And certainly,
precisely.
It's.
But would it be appropriate to just request that you at least continue it until you clarify the building code
issues? I'm not prepared to grant the variance today.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm more inclined to deny the application, but would at this point I could also take it under advisement and we can review the matter further. So.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item, on item number 5 for 1701 McKinnon? As a project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Yes. First of all, I know there might be a couple of, there was no ill intent, it's just typos. One, the same way in representing the walls, I don't think that there's any indication anywhere except for Mr. Dobb's interpretation that we're showing an existing building. It's clear that there's nothing there. The application was submitted in 2008, but it wasn't approved until 2013. What the requirements were for Section 311 back in 2008 or whenever the notifications went out, I don't know. I wasn't involved in that process. The only thing that I know is that, yes, you mentioned there's a site permit approved. It has not been pulled out yet. From what I understand from the owner, economic reasons, as we all know, he has not been able to develop the property. Then he approached me about a year ago and asked me for my advice, in which case I told him that there might be the possibility of subdividing the lot, which would make more sense. Currently, the property is zoned RH2, so both units as it stands, and if the permit stands, it would be perfectly legal and an entitlement for the property to have both buildings on site.
Okay. Thank you very much. And so you just became involved about a year ago. You weren't involved when the project went out to the 311 notice.
Correct. No, I came in for the variance.
Okay.
And there's been some minor interior changes from the original approved permit, but they've all been interior changes.
Great. Thank you. So with that, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to take the item under advisement now and have some further research by staff. But as I expressed previously, I have some concerns about the lack of a pattern of similarly sized lots and the fact that the project could move forward even without a variance under the planning code. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Right, next item is number 6, case number 2015-001620 VAR at 615 Mina Street, with a usable open space variance sought. Project sponsor can approach the mic.
Good morning. Tuya Catalano with Rubin and Junius, representing the project sponsor. So here's a photo of the building. So what we have is just an existing two-story over basement building. The project sponsor purchased this back in 2013, and at the time, it was in fairly poor condition. What we have is we have four legal dwelling units. There's two on the first floor and two on the second floor. And then we have a sort of basement level that's partially visible also on the ground facade that is contain four guest rooms. So what we're proposing to do is to convert those four guest rooms into two dwelling units. And we're also doing some other improvements to the other units that are vacant. So the reason for the variance is open space. We have an existing historic building on a relatively small lot, 25 by 80. There is an existing rear yard, but it is not large enough to accommodate the open space that we need. So with six units, we need approximately 479 square feet of open space. We have about 218 square feet in there. The justification for the variance is that it is existing conditions. We're not changing the building envelope or the footprint in any way. And it's also a historic building, so in order to comply with the open space, we'd have to do some demolition and remove some of the living space. And as it is right now, the units are relatively small, including the two proposed units and the existing units. They're about 550 to 750 square feet each. So there is no detriment to any of the neighbors or any of the neighborhood. Our rear yard setback and our lot configuration is pretty identical to the other properties nearby, and both of the buildings next to us have similar densities. One of them has, I believe, 12 units, and I think the other building has 4 units, so we have pretty similar configuration. So with that, I don't have any other comments, but we do have the engineer here available to answer any more specific questions, too, if there's any.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 6 for 615 Minna Street. Any public comment? Seeing none, because the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the building is a historic resource or certainly potential historic resource. The fact that it is a rated building does allow it to be exempted from the exposure requirement, but under kind of a quirk of the code, it does not also apply to open space. And so they're seeking the open space variance, which I find to be justified in this case. And we can close public hearing, move on to the next item.
All right. Item number 7, 2013.0164 VAR at 25 Alta Street, with the rear yard and exposure variances sought.
Yeah, I'm Mark Rousen, project sponsor for 25 Alta Street and the owner. This basically, we're looking to the proposals where we're restoring a historic building, including the demolition of the non-contributing rear structure in the back of the building. We're going to move it back exactly 8 feet in the rear yard. It kind of encroaches into the setback. And so we're asking for a variance in order to do that. We've got support from, I think you received a letter from the Telegraph Hill Association, and we work with them very closely in order to make this happen. Any other questions?
Thank you. Appreciate that. And the project has also been reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission, and they approved that certificate of appropriateness. As I understand, it's been through several iterations to get to the final form. So appreciate those, and we'll see if there's any public comment on the item. And item number 7 for 25 Alta. Seeing no public comment, close public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance as the project has currently been revised and reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission, and can move on to the next item.
All right, next item is number 8, case number 2013.0491V. at 1335 Larkin Street, with rear yard modification and exposure variances sought.
Good Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Tony Pantaleone, the project architect. Before you today is we're requesting a variance for rear yard setback as well as light and ventilation to some of the units that don't view out to the required rear yard or front street. The building at 1335 Larkin Street is a historic landmark. It's a Category A, and it's an automotive support structure resource. It's in the automotive support structure historic resource survey of the Van Ness Avenue corridor. The historic rating of the existing building and the planning department's requirements to preserve portion of the requirement is required by us, requires us to provide request these variances. This is the original brick warehouse building right here, auto repair building, and we, over months and months and many iterations working with the preservation staff, we were able to set back the upper three, the third, fourth, and fifth floors 43 feet. From the front property line, the third, fourth, and fifth floors are 43 feet setback, and the fifth floor is 47 feet back. Now, in order to provide some sort of units there, the property is zoned for 39 units with a 65-foot height limit. We're only placing 20 units. That's the most we can fit in there. 15 of them are one bedroom, and five of them are two bedrooms, so the units are not very large. That is why we're requesting a variance. The our rear yard requirement is 34 feet, and we're currently at 17. The last thing, if you take a look here. This is a 3D representation, isometric view of it. You see the brick building in the front. We're also required to keep about the first 18 to 19 feet of the existing roof. And then right behind it, we have a second floor. There's some open space for the units there. And you see the third, fourth, and fifth floors are set back, again, 42 feet. And the upper floor is set back 47 feet. So we do encroach on the rear yard, and those units at the rear do not meet the requirement of requesting a variance for the outlook. So thank you.
Thank you. And just to clarify, so this is in a neighborhood commercial district, and so you can seek to do a modification of the rear yard requirement, which has a different set of findings rather than the five findings for the variance. The findings for the rear yard modification are that there are residential uses included in the new and expanding development and a comparable amount of open space, which you are providing through the roof decks, and that the proposed new or expanding structure will not significantly impede access of light, air, and views from adjacent properties, and the proposed new or expanding structure will not adversely affect the interior mid-block open space formed by the rear yards of adjacent buildings. And so to clarify that there are a different set of findings, not only for this, but also for the next project.
Okay.
And I know there have been some concerns from adjacent properties, and so
yes.
We'll hear the public comment on this item.
Okay.
So we're on item number 8 for 1335 Larkin Street.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Karen Chow Sito, and my concerns are very basic. I'm not really sure if this is the forum to bring them up, but our family has owned the 1529-1533 California Street for over 45 years. It is a three-story building on California Street where most of the residential buildings are of similar height except for the corner building, which is 1507 California Street, formerly known as the Hotel Dorel. So our property is adjacent to the 1335 Larkin Street project. In our flats, all the back rooms are bedrooms. There are six residents. I realize the height of the proposed 1335 Larkin Street site is within the building code. However, I feel it will be out of character for the block of Larkin Street that it's on. The only other building of this height is the low income senior housing building at 1303 Larkin Street. The proposed six-story addition will certainly block any natural light we currently get. The variance, if approved, will be even worse for those who own the adjacent buildings in terms of property values and plain aesthetics. We are asked to compare seeing blue sky, the roofs of the adjacent buildings, to imagine what it be like to see a towering concrete block in front of your bedroom window that will have occupants that can look into your living quarters. I've attached some photos. I didn't bring them today, but I did forward them via email. So basically, the photos show the current two-block neighborhood of where the proposed addition will affect. I had photos of the block of Larkin Street, including 1303 Larkin, the United Postal Service truck parking lot, which already has 5 to 6 vehicles parked in the neighboring metered spots as overflow, and the proposed site, along with the 2 to 3-story residential buildings across the street on Larkin. The other series of photos are currently the vistas from our back bedroom windows showing the adjacent rooftops. And the last 3 photos show our building on California Street in proximity to other buildings on that block. I think I'm using this forum basically because I want to see the rendition of how this proposed new building, with or without the variance, will look in relation to, you know, our adjacent buildings. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item for item number 8 for 1335 Larkin? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Tony Pontaleone. I'd just like to note here, this is the building that she owns right here. And as you see, if you look straight out, right now our building is set back, so we're 17 feet. Actually, the mass of the building is 20 feet away from the property line. So her views will be maintained. In fact, they will be improved because currently right down the middle of our property, the brick, there's a peaked roof, metal peaked roof that will be eliminated. And that will lower that, so they'll have outdoor space, which will be landscaped and totally open. So that'll help increase a little bit. In terms of the morning sun, yes, our building will have an effect on her bedrooms in the morning. But in the afternoon, from 12 o'clock on to the rest of the afternoon, she'll have this normal sun that she's always had. So there is going to be an impact, I agree. But again, as architects, we'd love to do more units, and we'd love to push the building right toward the street, but we can't. We're stuck, and this has taken us a year to get to this point. So, unfortunately, because of the historic nature of the building, Category A, we really have to preserve and enhance the existing brick building. So, thank you.
Thank you.
One last thing, if you take this, yep. I forgot this, too. Here is the side elevation. This is the rear. There's no windows that we have at the rear of the sidewall. There are a couple of bathroom windows further up, but there's also the sort of a bay window, and those are more like 20, you know, like another 10 feet off the setback off the property line. So, and it said right now there's a metal peak roof that comes up about that high from the brick building. So that will be eliminated.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so close the public hearing. I think at this point, project sponsor, have you started the 312 process?
Yes, we have an orange poster on the building. It's actually along with these, so the orange poster's up.
Do you know the expiration date?
It's
middle of October, I think.
It's been up about a week and a half? Yeah, it's been up about a week and a half so far, so there's still another 20 days.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I'd close the public hearing. I think, like probably all the parties here, I'm struggling a bit with this, and the setback that has been required by preservation is substantial, and does have impacts on this. I think I would prefer to wait for the end of the Section 312 notification to see if there's any additional information that could come in through that process, and would hold off any decision until that time. But And I think I'd like to also go back and circle back with staff and see if there's any possibility of kind of further changes to the pushing this further forward, although I think I know the answer. So with that, we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
All right, going on to the next item, number 9, case number 2013.0761V at 3902 24th Street with rear yard modification variance sought.
Thanks. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. John Kevlin here with Ruben Junius and Rose on behalf of the project sponsor, Musa Khoury. The rear yard variance requested today would allow for a three-family-size dwelling unit building with ground floor commercial at the same depth of the adjacent two buildings. As you mentioned, it is subject to the more limited findings for the rear yard exception, but I also speak to some of the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances here. With respect to the rear yard exception, it does include residential uses at the development and also does provide almost double the amount of open space at the roof as would otherwise be provided in a code-compliant rear yard. I'll get into the light and air access to the adjacent properties in a moment, but also just wanted to mention that it does not... if you take a look at this image right here, we're not adjacent to any mid-block open space, so it's not going to be this wouldn't contribute to mid-block open space, nor would the project take away from it. So, like I said, there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances here. The property is an undersized lot, as opposed to the standard 25 by 100 in San Francisco. Again, taking a look at the projector here, we've got an 85-foot deep lot. It is a double lot, but...
Could you move that up? Sorry,
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah, thanks. It's the corner lot right here. It's about 85 feet deep. It is a double-wide lot, but the project being proposed is on 25 feet of width. So not only is it not meeting the standard San Francisco 100-foot deep lot, but the majority of lots on this block are 114 feet deep. So it's substandard both for the standard of San Francisco as well as this block. It is surrounded on all three sides by buildings essentially built to the property line. As you can see right here, the west building goes a little bit deeper. The east building goes all the way to the rear property line. And then, of course, the building facing Sanchez is right at the property line as well. So it's basically boxed in on all three corners by the adjacent development. The strict standards of the code would create practical difficulties and unnecessary hardship here. The required 21-foot rear yard setback would be required to be provided at grade. This is going to be very poor open space for residents. It's going to be surrounded, like I said, on all three sides by buildings one, two, and three stories above above grade. And so it's essentially going to be boxed in. When we take a look at also the effects of applying the strict rear yard requirement, let's take a look at the standard floor plan for a second. It's a pretty, again, it's difficult to fit the units in the space here. We've actually got two interior staircases for the purposes of fire egress, and we've got a light well along the matching the west property West Properties light well. So we've got a very narrow center section of the floor plan, around 12 feet or so. So really, we need to push the bedrooms to the front and the rear. And essentially, applying the strict 25% rear yard line is going to be essentially losing one of those rear units. I mean, we can reconfigure it so that we can still fit a unit back there with a bathroom, but we would be losing a bedroom unit on each of the three floors. So it would be a loss of three bedrooms, again, you know, for a really a substandard rear yard. Let's see. So I do want to point out the adjacent properties. taking a look here. This is the east property, and the we will be providing a 15-foot deep rear yard on the east half of the site, which essentially matches up with the building wall. So basically the outdoor area on this part of the site will enjoy a setback on this side. When you look at the west neighbor, the 25% rear yard essentially stops right here. There's no windows, there's no openings at this end of the site, so it's really not impacting any part of that building that would be used. And then the last thing I'll say about the Sanchez Street neighbor is that we are one floor below grade, basically, at the rear of the site. And so at the rear of the site, the building is essentially the same height as the Sanchez Street building. So for those reasons, we respectfully request your support for the exception and or variance.
Thank you. Does the project sponsor have any intent that you know of to subdivide the lot? Has that been discussed?
No. There's no application on file, and that's not the intent.
And even if it were, it looks like you are using part of the adjacent building for exiting. So
exactly. So
if anything, an easement over that. But
that's right. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 9 for 3902 24th Street.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm Ann Masullo, and I'm a long-term resident at 1080 Sanchez, which is the lower flat of the unit that will be directly behind the proposed building. And my main issue with the building is that I will be losing full sunlight for the back half of my flat once that building goes up. Currently, there's nothing to block the southern exposure. And as soon as the building goes up, there's, I believe it's 30 feet that will block in height, and then it will take up the entire width of that portion of the lot. So my position would, I would prefer to have the variance denied, so there may be a chance for sunlight to come back to my light, to my windows. So it's a difference of, I believe it was 22.5 feet that the rear yard is required to be, and the proposed building on half of that portion would be 5.2 feet, and on the other half, although there'll be a patio there, I think it's more like 17 feet. But I don't know that there's been a shadow study done to see what would be blocked from the lights from the windows at 1078 and 1080.
So a shadow study wouldn't be required, but certainly you could ask the project sponsor to provide that for you to look at some analysis of
that. I don't know what the percentage of lack of light would be, and that's my main concern. The other concern I had was privacy with the windows that will now be facing my windows in the upper 1078 flat as well.
Okay.
They'll be directly, from what my measurement was, and I may be off, but they'd be looked directly into my back dining room and bathroom area. So I don't know if I can talk to, there was another, on the variance notice, it said something about a variance for parking as well. Is that also on the agenda, or?
They don't require a variance for parking. It's not required.
Okay. So that was on the notice that was posted. And the other issue I had was in regard to the.
But you can't speak to that. I mean, because they are seeking a modification of that requirement, but it's not a variance. It's not subject to the variance findings. It's not required to have a public hearing. But if you have concerns related
to that. Well, I don't have a garage, so I'm one of the many people who are constantly looking for parking on the streets. And if there is a requirement that there be off-street parking, I would prefer there to be off-street parking. I understand that there is provision for bicycle parking that's in excess of what is required, but I don't know, do those two things, there are two requirements, right? One doesn't absolve the other if you have more than.
So under the code, for the last, these 2-3 years, you can provide bicycle parking in lieu of vehicle parking.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
And separately, you can also seek a reduction in neighborhood commercial districts from the parking requirement. Even if you don't provide bicycle parking, and that's because of concerns related to, if like at a project like this, if they put a garage, where would they put it? Would they have a curb cut off of 24th Street? Then they're obliterating the retail storefront. Then they're having pedestrian conflicts. And
right.
So the idea is to have a bit more flexibility
right.
there.
Well, that is the lesser of my concerns. My main concern is the light, and then secondarily the privacy,
okay.
lack of privacy.
Right, and sorry, did you have anything further to add? Because I maybe just have a couple questions.
Those were the main things. The other thing was the fact that the building is so modern, and I know that the St. Clair Liquor Store is an historic resource site, and I believe what I was told is that some elements of the surrounding building should be incorporated into the new building, and I don't believe any elements are being incorporated.
Okay.
So I need to take that into consideration.
Thank you.
I think that's it.
Thank you. So just a couple of questions. So sure. You said you were in the lower unit. I saw in one of the photos that looks like there was a set of stairs going up and then a window there. So is that the window for your unit?
Yeah, they're identical, the upper and lower, at the same position. So okay. There's a door at the rear of both flats, and then double windows up and down, and then the bathroom windows are the same.
And then
adjacent to that, or next to those, yeah.
So the windows that you have on the south side of your unit, what rooms do those open onto?
They open onto the dining room, kitchen. The kitchen would otherwise be pretty dark without the light coming in. And then the bathroom into the hallway.
Okay. And then do you have windows at the rear as well that kind of face up to
there's one window at the kitchen to facing west.
Yeah.
But the entire north side of the building, we have no windows.
Okay.
They're railroad flats, so we depend on the light coming from the south.
And you have light at the front?
Just the living room, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there any other public comment on this item? And we're on item number 9 for 3902 24th Street.
I have a question. I just wanted to know, I don't live with her or anything. I'm actually the neighbor that lives next door mm-hmm. on the west side. Can I talk? Or?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. And in my unit, I have a sunroof on top, okay? And the thing is that the way they were going to build, since I was going to ask about the shadow study also, and what it does is because of the height of the building, it'll cover my sunroof. And the thing is that if it blocks the sun from my sunroof, then, you know, all year round, I would have, you know, I won't have sun there because this house is almost 100 years old, and we've been there for so long that, you know, I feel that the sunroof should still have our, you know, be able to have that sun to come in. Otherwise, I'd be putting a lot of money into the heating. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if there was a shadow study done, that I would like to get something, and that if possible, you know, we can work together to see if we could do better than just what he's planning to do, which is give me 3 feet over there. I want to make sure that I still have the ability to be able to be in my sunroof and have sun, because that's the way the sun comes in, is through the east side into the west. And I always have a lot of heat coming in from there. So, but again, like I said, if they were to build a building so high, oversized, then I won't have the ability to have a sunroof anymore, period. So I just want to make sure that, you know, I can speak up and say that, you know. And then plus also another thing is about the, you know, why I'm just curious why they don't require a garage, because we live in the business district and it's so hard to even find a place to park. I mean, that's kind of, to me, ridiculous. Okay, I've been here living in this house for over 50 some odd years, and it's changed tremendously. But my point is, why are they not required to have a garage? Or is that something that the cities allowed them not to do? I don't know, you know. So, and then plus also, I believe they're building another 5 feet above. Is that something that was given, allowed to for them to build 5 feet higher? I mean, is that something that was instigated through the city, or what was that? I was just curious. So I just wanted to see whether they can just do a setback on a little bit more on the top portion of where my sunroof is located.
Thank you. So so to clarify, then you're the property to the west, 3910 to 3912.
Yes, that's where I am, yes.
And where exactly is the sunroom?
The sunroof is more towards the front of the building, because I only have the sunroof on top, and the rest is the roof area. We don't have the threes. It's not three. We're not three levels. We're actually two and one-third, basically. So it's more towards the front area.
And is it at the center of the property?
No,
the side?
It's more towards the front part, because we have another roof on top of that.
Right.
And then there's, so there's a set, there's a roof here first, and then the sunroof is here, and then we have another roof over here.
Okay.
So okay. It's more like just towards the front part of the building.
Okay. Thank you. So we can answer a couple of the questions that you had. So first, in regards to the concerns about the sunroom, before me today is just the encroachment at the rear, and so it's not an element that would seem to have any impact on the sunroof, but I would encourage you to talk to the project sponsor and see, you know, what impact there may be and if there are ways to address that.
Okay.
In regards to the parking, San Francisco didn't have a residential parking requirement until 1955, and, you know, certainly between probably 1955 and, you know, within the last 10 years or so, there was certainly we were geared towards providing that required parking, but as you can imagine, kind of ideas change over time, and so now there are many options to where you don't have to provide parking, and actually there are many districts where no parking is required, and because the idea is we have a limited amount of space and we have competing interests. Do we dedicate that space to storage of automobiles, or do we dedicate it to active ground floor uses? Do we dedicate it to kind of housing for people? So over time, that has certainly changed. And it looks like in the early 80s, they sought a project for this location that needed a variance for parking. That variance was denied, but now no such variance is needed. The code has changed, you know, for better or for worse. There are kind of different kind of preferences, different desires for how the city should develop, and prioritizing parking is not as high as it once was, and certainly we're geared more towards the transit-oriented city with having, you know, bicycle parking or having alternate forms of transportation, be it Muni or other mode shares. So, and then I think you had also another question about the design and you know, certainly the well, that came up as an issue. We can, you know, refer that to our staff. I know there have been a couple comments about softening it. And I think, you know, what they are doing, they are maintaining a very nice square bay that is reflective of the square bay that's on the St. Clair. So I think that may have been the attempt at addressing that. And apologize, I think there was one other question that you had raised.
No, I don't remember. I'm very nervous right now. But another thing, I thought that since the St. Clair's is a historic resource, I thought this building is connected to theirs. Why is this separated? I just wanted to know why the building that they're planning to build on is considered a separate entity to this particular place.
So it's on the same lot, but it's a new building, because you can have multiple buildings.
It's not the same lot, is that what you're saying?
Oh, it's the same lot.
Yeah, it's the same lot. Yeah, so that's why I was just curious why.
Because you can have multiple buildings on one lot, and I think it would be just kind of much more straightforward. It's already now a separate building, I believe, which I think one time had been the kind of warehouse for St. Clair.
Well, it used to be an icebox. There were two garages. That's what I first moved there, that's what it was. So I thought there was an attachment to the building itself on the corner. That's why. So
In terms of preservation concerns, and typically our preservation specialists like to see more distinct buildings rather than buildings that would, you know, imitate what is already there, that they have something that is more distinct, which is what they're providing. So
no more garages are required if anybody starts to build in the Noe Valley District. Is that what you're telling me?
It depends. You know, in San Francisco, we have more than 100 different zoning districts, and each of them have a little bit different requirements, unfortunately. But in the residential districts, parking is still generally required. But citywide, bicycle parking can be provided in lieu of automobile parking.
Okay.
So that's a citywide change.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it was the parking issue. But, yeah, I think that's hopefully that answers any questions that you have. But if there are others, you can email staff or email me directly. So
okay. Hopefully I can work with the project manager again and work something out. Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Is there any other public comment on this item for item number 9, 3902 24th Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. Just to get into a little bit about the light and air at that rear property, here's the elevation from Sanchez Street. And as you'll see, the building as proposed is about the same height as the next building up on Sanchez Street. The reason being is that we've got a pretty significant slope, so the first floor is essentially below grade by the time you get to this point. I'll also make the point that if this 1080 Sanchez was not bordering a corner lot, but in fact just bordering, you know, a typical standard lot that is fronting Sanchez, there would be no side setback requirement. And as of right now, from the very rear of the building, we've got 10 feet separation, and from the eastern half, it is roughly 25 feet. I'd also mention that, taking a look at the site plan, the existing west building, it's two stories. The existing east building is one story. I'll show you the photos once again. This right here is the east building as it currently exists, and here's the west building. So, and again, existing on site is a commercial building that goes to the same depth as what's being proposed right now. So the new mass at the site is really this one shaft of which is about 10 by 25 by 12 that's coming out to the far line. So that, you know, there's still access to light to that to the side yard of the 1080 Sanchez building even after the if this project were to be built. I also just want to mention we've done a significant amount of outreach in the neighborhood. We've received 34 supporter letters from individuals, as well as the support of the Noe Valley Merchants and Professionals Association. So we have done quite a bit of outreach. So we're here for any questions. We respectfully request you support the variance and or exception, and we're here with any questions you have.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, we'll close the public hearing. I think unlike the previous case, this is a bit clear application of the rear yard bonification provision, and appreciate that there may be some impacts on the neighbors, but I still find that it would be supportable as proposed. Would like the project sponsor to continue working with the neighbors and see if there are other changes or modifications that could be made to further minimize impacts, but with that, I'd be inclined to support the requested rear yard modification and move on to the next item.
All right, next item, number 10, case number 2014.1263 VAR at 1401 Monterey Boulevard with a rear yard variance sought.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm James Skelton, the project sponsor and architect on the project. Oops. The project is located at 1401 Montgomery, and the required rear yard variance that we are trying to seek is located in this area right here. As you can see, the lot is irregularly shaped. It's more of a triangle. And two, that the bulk and mass of the building already extends into this required rear, and we're just trying to infill the corner at the ground floor and second floor to increase the kitchen area. This, how are we going to be able to do it? All right. So this would be the area of infill right here. On a report, she does mention that this is also being infilled, but this is less than 12 feet, so under the existing building. So we don't think that's a requirement for this variance. As you can see, back to the existing area, the three adjacent properties right here, here, and here are not adversely affected through light or shadow. So the addition is about 174 square feet that will expand the kitchen and garage. And a portion of that does go in the required rear yard, about 9 feet, 11 inches. It still leaves a 15 foot, 1 inch setback at the rear. And again, it doesn't go beyond the original building setback clearances. I've got one photo to show you as well. So, this is really, is there a way to expand this out?
Yeah, there should be a maybe at the top a little zoom.
Oh, great, great. Thank
wheel.
You. So this, yeah, this is the area right here that will be infilled as you can, underneath this deck right there and then out to the corner. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. So I understand the project has been revised from an earlier proposal that would have relocated the garage doors, and that's been...
Correct, revised. Yeah, we had made that modification. The planner didn't want the two garage doors, so we kept it one large single.
Thank you. All right. Is there any public comment on this item, item number 10 for 1401 Monterey Boulevard? Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting... as is stated by the project sponsor, that this is an existing irregularly shaped lot. They're regularizing the building envelope, not extending any further and increasing the encroachment beyond what is already there. So appreciate that, and we can move on to the next item.
All right, calendar item number 11, case number 2015-004111 VAR at 561 Bank Street, a rear yard variance sought.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Mark Lenzel, and I'm the project sponsor. And the proposed project is basically to reconstruct a rear yard bedroom that's in pretty poor structural shape. And the existing bedroom, the existing structure now sits within the rear yard setback. The lot is fairly typical for Bernal Heights, but because of the history of the building, it actually presents some challenges in development. The structure here was built in 1907, and it was the first building in this immediate area, and in fact most of the neighborhood was built out later. And when the house was built, it was actually built with a 1 foot strip on this side, a 7.5 foot setback here, and about 6 feet on this side. So a large amount of the area that actually could be used for building is sort of out of reach for practical use. And as well as the two adjacent neighbors, you know, have built out a good bit as well. So the proposal here, the existing structure is actually outlined here, is already 10 inches beyond the 15-foot minimum rear yard requirement. And in order to bring that closer into compliance, we're proposing to reconstruct this and comply with the 15-foot. And to keep the room actually still usable as a bedroom, we would extend this a little bit further out here. To maintain usability for the room, and essentially that's the proposal. We've spoken with all of the immediate neighbors, and there's no concerns. And as you can see here from the satellite, the addition. This is the space over here that we'd be reconstructing. Basically, is in massing terms sort of similar to the adjacent buildings, and we're essentially just building back to code a structure that's similar in nature, and also it would be built up to code, and it would be per standard as opposed to when it was built in the late 60s, early 70s. It was a deck, and then it was enclosed, and in the usual sort of San Francisco project. So that's our presentation.
Thank you. So what's proposed for underneath the bedroom?
Well, originally we were planning to put a hot tub in there and a little storage area, but as talking with our contractor, that looks like that's not going to be in the cards financially, so it's actually just going to be at grade with a little crawl space underneath for garden storage.
I thought this was going to be the funnest project on the calendar today.
Yeah, we had to take the hot tub out. It was going to be a sunken tub, and the budget numbers came back and said...
It looked cool, so... Okay. Well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. I'm number 11 for 561 Bank Street. Any public comment? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think the project sponsor had a very compelling argument given the development history of the subject property and as replacing an existing structure with less encroachment into the rear yard. So we can move on to the next item.
All right, the next item is number 13, case number 2014-1326V at 1642 Great Highway, rear yard variance sought.
Good morning, Z.A. Sanchez. This is a building at the rear of the lot. At the front is a two-unit building, and at the back is this structure, which is not uncommon in that block. Many of the properties in that block have one or two structures, even some of them. So the purpose of this structure is really for a sort of a home office. And Mr. Massara, who's your owner, he'll be speaking here in a second. Also, he does a lot of surfing. Does he sort of a big thing? He's very involved in the surfing community. And so coming out from the surfing, it would be a great place for him to come there and actually clean up and then leave his gear there and then come back inside the home so he can eat and sleep or whatever. So that's sort of the purpose for it. And so I'll let Ms. Massara speak next. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, Administrator Sanchez. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for your consideration. I have three exhibits that I'd like to submit to you. And if it's, can you see when people put things
up
here?
I've got a monitor here.
Just real quickly, the matter involves my remodel efforts on an existing approximately 60-year-old shed in my backyard. Has long functioned as sort of a surfboard storage and changing area and office, and 20 years ago as a playhouse for my children. And that's depicted in the first photograph here that comes from this magazine, The Surfer's Journal, in 1996. My comments are meant to address the required variance criteria, and please don't hesitate to ask me any questions if you have them. Specifically, the variance is requested for a slight decrease in the required space for the backyard. Legalizing the shed will not adversely impact the existing land use or the look of the house, the property, or the neighborhood. The shed complies with all other rear and side yard setbacks and won't adversely impact any views whatsoever. More importantly, I've spoken to virtually everyone in the neighborhood, and I have about 33 letters of support, including all of my most immediate adjacent neighbors to the south, to the north, and directly behind me, many other longtime property owners, renters, professionals, and residents of the Sunset District. Lastly, this is a block of post-earthquake 1906 homes like mine. They, on the Great Highway, virtually all have these type of sheds in the backyard. And the final photograph that I'll provide for you is my yard looking south, and you can see all of the sheds in the backyards of all of my neighbors. With that,
I would say that finally fixing up the old shed is, in my view, an asset to the neighborhood and will not adversely affect the enjoyment, preservation, utility, or viability of my residential property or the quality of the neighborhood. And with that, I thank you very much.
Thank you. I understand that you purchased the property. Was it 1991?
Yes.
And so why did this come to the fore today? Was there a notice of violation or?
A local inspector, Mr. Hernandez, took note of my work in the backyard, and that begat this process.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item for item number 13, 1642 Great Highway? Seeing none, we close public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that this is an existing condition that has existed for quite some time without any apparent adverse impact. It is a characteristic that does have some place in the neighborhood, and that is all. We can move on to the next item.
All right, final item, number 14, case number 2015-001882 VAR at 1465 14th Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
Good morning. I'm coming in regard to the repair and of my backyard deck, and basically it is a two-level structure. The lower level is 3 feet, or is less than 3 feet above grade, and the second level is a mandatory fire egress for the upper unit in the property. And this is the repairs for the deck are being requested by the city in conjunction with a condo conversion process, and what they found was that there were structural members that needed to be replaced in the deck, and also the deck needed to be brought up to code with risers in the steps and the spacing of the handrails and the sort of barrier rails along the steps. And basically what I'm requesting the variance for is the ability to make those repairs and bring the deck up to code.
Thank you. So is this going to be a repair or is it going to be a reconstruction?
It's a like-for-like replacement of parts. The plan is to repair the structures and fill in the necessary members that need to be brought up to code with the banisters and the step risers.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me this morning.
Is there any public comment on this item, item number 14 for 1465 14th Avenue? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, knowing that it's replacement of or repair of an existing condition. And that is the last item we have on our calendar. And we can move to a general public comment if there's any general public comment. Nope.
Questions unrelated to the agenda items?
Questions, or we can just talk after the hearing if it's just a question. So, okay. So with that, we'll close the public hearing. We reconvene the next regular hearing on Wednesday, October 28th, 2015. Thank you.